Gospel of Matthew 27 from verse 32 to 44. I've entitled my message, I am not coming down. Amen. I am not coming down. Let's read the scriptures together. It says, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. You see, when we look at the context, the person would carry his own cross, but the state of Jesus was very tired. He was beaten up so badly, he had no strength left in him. And when they crucify a man on the cross, they crucified him alive. Yeah. They wouldn't crucify a dead man on the cross. They would crucify man with breath still left in him. But Jesus was very close to actually not making to Golgotha. So in this context, there was a man named Simon, and they forced him. See, the scripture says they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. He was wearing a very expensive clothes. So the soldiers, they were casting lots for his clothes. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him. You see, they did that purposely because they wanted Jesus to look like a criminal. Yeah. They placed Jesus in between the two rebels so that when passers-by, not knowing the context of who Jesus would have been, when they see him, they'd spit at him and they'd hurl insults at him, saying, look at this criminal, he deserves it. So those who passed by hurled insults at him, the scripture says. Shaking their heads, not only insults, but they were shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. It doesn't say later, it says let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. It was a voice of challenge to his identity. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Again. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. See, I want to focus on verse 40 this afternoon. You are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. You know, in the journey of life, most people go through three phases. Let me say that again. In journey of life, most people go through three phases. The first phase is self-discovery phase. Self-discovery phase. You see, you try everything life throws at you because you want to know your purpose. When a person begins to journey life, he has so much energy in him that he's ready to experiment and try everything life throws at him. So I've called this self-discovery phase. The second phase is desert phase. Desert phase. In the pursuance of purpose, you lose yourself and get stuck in a place where you become lost and confused. So the first phase is self-discovery phase. Yes, I want to know what life is all about. I want to know my purpose. So we venture on a journey of discovering what life is all about. And in us venturing this journey, we make lots of choices. Some choices are great choices. Some choices are not so great choices. And because of our choices, we find in that place We find ourselves in that place of desert faith where we're now confused. Hold on, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? You see, a lot of young teenagers these days are dabbling with these two phases. They're trying to discover their purpose in life. But at the same time, they're looking for their purpose in wrong places. And because they're looking for their purpose in wrong places, they find themselves in this place of desert faith where they're now confused, lost. It breaks my heart every time I go on internet and I scroll down on news, you hear stories about young teenagers falling into this pattern of depression, anxiety, suicide. We've had loads of cases, even in Doncaster, where young teenagers jump in front of a train. Why are they doing that? It's not because they hate their life, it's because they're confused. And in the pursuance of finding what life is all about, they're lost and they're confused. Which brings me to my third phase. Purposeful phase. This is the phase everybody's looking for. Purposeful phase. Bible calls this abundant life. A life that is lived to its full. I went from first phase, trying to discover my purpose, to second phase, getting lost in this desert, trying to find out who I am, what I am, to actually giving my all to Jesus and finally settled in that place of abundant life. Amen. But God has more. Amen. Yeah. God has more. We claim this abundant life, but what we do is we put ourselves in this box of abundant life and stay there. But God's like, there is more. Amen. There is more. He wants us to live in that place of authority. He wants us to live in that place of victory. You see, and sadly many miss out on this because they get stuck on first phase and second phase. And the only way we get to third phase is when we learn to surrender our all to Jesus. We need to learn to surrender our all to Jesus. You see, this account which we've just read in Matthew 27, it's indeed a very powerful account found in the Gospel. See, for those of us who've been reading the Gospel of Matthew, it's a very powerful account. And there are many things we can learn from this account. And as I was studying this passage, I discovered a few things which I'd like to share with us this afternoon. Three things in particular. The first thing I'd like to share with us is this. We have to recognize the voice. We have to recognize the voice. Jesus himself, he said, my sheep knows my voice. They know me. Not only they know me, but they hear me. They listen to me. They know my voice. You see, what we just looked at that scripture, didn't we? Verse 40, it says, come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. You know, we see a reference of this earlier in the Gospel. Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God. You see that same voice, if you are the Son of God. And that same voice was on the cross as well. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. The voice of the tempter. Tempter said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into bread. And I love what Jesus says. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. And devil continues, he goes on to say, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus says, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and they will lift you up in their hands. And they will not strike your foot against a stone. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And lastly, he says again, in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 4, if you're taking notes, you don't have to turn there, but let me read this out. And the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. See, we have to use our authority. Devil will whisper in your ears, in your head, every area of your life, and he says to you, listen, do you really believe God can rescue you? Do you really believe God can forgive you of all your wrongdoings? Do you really believe he is there for you? You see, Satan's greatest strategy is this: I will get him when he is weak. I will get her when she is weak. This is devil's greatest strategy. See, Jesus was bruised, humiliated, beaten to the very point of death, yet he did not give in to the voice of the tempter. Amen. He did not give in to the voice of the tempter. He stood strong because he knew the reward that was set before him. He stood strong because he knew the reward that was set before him. Church, let's stand strong. Amen. Because there's great reward in store for us, each and every one of us. Let's not give in to the voice of the tempter. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a cheat. That's all he is. He has no authority. The only authority is what you give him. If you give him the key of your heart, he'll mess you up. But if you give the key of your heart to Jesus, he will fill you with strength. He will fill you with authority. He will fill you with power. So how do we recognize God's voice? How do we recognize God's voice? See, I've got five things I've written down here. If you want to take notes, you can do so. Five ways to recognize God's voice. Firstly, God's voice always brings peace. How do I know I've heard the voice of God? See, when I hear the voice of God, it brings peace in my life, to my circumstances. You see, when people come and ask me, like, what's the first thing? I always say peace. I remember some time back, before I moved to Doncaster from Melton Mowbray, I spoke to Pastor Andrew and I said, How do you hear God's voice? And this was the exact same thing he said to me. Have you got peace in your heart? If you have, that's God. Amen? If you have, that is God. He's a God of peace. God's voice brings peace. Secondly, God's voice never contradicts the Bible. God's voice never contradicts the Bible. You see, we, as a church, we are very biblically orthodox. What I mean by that is we believe every single word in the Bible. We don't say, oh, we only believe partial things of the Bible. No, we believe everything that's in the Bible. We believe that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that is given to us from God, by God, for His purpose and for His glory. So we are biblically orthodox. But at the same time, we are missionally focused. See, because the Great Commission is there for us. The mission is there for us. And you see, whenever we want to hear the Word of God, and when we receive something in our spirit, it always aligns, and should I say, it should always align with the Word of God. It should always align with the Word of God. Amen? Because God always speaks from the Word, and He never contradicts His Word. He never contradicts His Word. Never. Thirdly, God's voice always brings clarity, not confusion. Always brings clarity, not confusion. If you're about to make a decision and you're confused, let me give you a word of advice. Don't make that decision. Wait until you hear from God. Amen? See, I've made lots of bad decisions in my life. And most of the time it has been made because I've been impatient, but at the same time, most of the time it has been made because I've been in that place of confusion and not had enough clarity. You see, but what I've learned to do now is I don't make a decision until God tells me to do so. Yeah. My always first primary source is the Bible, yeah. And then the leaders that is appointed above me. Yeah. See, we always have to, but we have this, should I say, rebellion spirit taking place in the church, outside of church, where we refuse to listen to wise counsel, where we refuse to stay accountable. And what I've learned over the years is we have to stay accountable. We have to let go of our rebellious stubbornness, and we have to open up ourselves to God and say to God, God, please bring about clarity to me. If you're confused, that's not God. God's voice always brings clarity. Amen? It always brings clarity. Fourthly, God's voice comes true. It is written. If God has said it, that's it. Doesn't matter other people's opinion. Doesn't matter what other people think of you. Doesn't matter what other people say about you. See, when I went to Bible college, firstly, it was a university credited degree. Looking at my past and everything, I was like, I won't be able to do this because I'm not that sharp when it comes to, you know. But that was me. When I look at the grades were good, but I always thought I wasn't good enough. You know, this thing hovering over me, because the root of that was because I was always comparing myself with others. You see, and until and unless we stop comparing ourselves with others, we will never be able to accept the gifting that God has given us. The way we can flourish and grow in what God has given us is when we start accepting and approving what God has placed in us. See, you can do only what you can do. I can't do what you can do. I can't do what Joan can do. I can't do what my wife can do. My wife makes lovely curry and she makes lovely food and everything, you know. But if I try and make it, oof, Lord help us all. You know, but it's just, she has her own giftings. I have my own giftings. See, and we have to understand that if God has given you a promise, He will fulfill it. The word of God was to Andrew and Grace 25 years ago that God had a building for them. And had they gave up on the promises of God, we wouldn't be here today. But they were faithful to that promise that God gave them. And because of that faithfulness, I'm standing here. Because of that faithfulness, my wife and Joshua is here. Because of that faithfulness, we're able to sit comfortably in these beautiful chairs. You see, God's voice always comes true. Don't listen to the tempter's voice. Don't give in to the tempter's voice. The tempter will tell you, listen, just forget it. Maybe you got it wrong. But the word of the Lord to you is this. Whatever I've spoken, says the word of God, I will bring it to fulfillment. Reminds me of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Whatever He starts, He brings it to completion. Amen. He brings it to completion. He brings it to completion. And fifth is this. God's voice brings change. We have to be ready for change. Definitely. Firstly, before He starts changing other people, He will change you. Yeah. You see, sometimes we hold on to bitterness. Sometimes we hold on to a lot of sourness towards other people, towards family members, towards family friends, close friends, best friends, whatever. You know, and we say, oh, God changed them. But what if it's not them that is changing, it's you that is changing. It's your heart towards them that is changing. So the voice of God, God always brings about a change, amen. He always brings about a change in our attitude. He always brings about a change in our behavior. Most importantly, He always brings about a change in our mindset. Amen. Because the battle starts here. The battle begins here. So those are the five things, how we recognize God's voice. God's voice always brings peace. God's voice never contradicts the Bible. God's voice always brings clarity, not confusion. God's voice comes true. God's voice brings change. Amen? So we have to learn to recognize the voice of God, not the voice of the enemy. Because the voice of the enemy was, if you are the Son of God, bring yourself down. But Jesus said under His breath, it is written. It is written, amen. It is written. And that's the end of. If the enemy tempts you again, just say, it is written. It is written. It is written that I will succeed in this. It is written that if God is with me, who can be against me? It is written that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You have to believe that, church. I need to believe that. We as a church, we have to believe this. There is no weapon out there that will prosper. No. Because God is with us, and if He is with us, nothing will win over us. No. Nothing. Because there is no one above God. God is above everything, all things. Amen. Secondly, we have to know our purpose. See, when Jesus was on the cross, he recognized that voice of the tempter. Oof, you're here again. Jesus recognized that voice. Secondly, Jesus knew his purpose, why he came. And when we know the purpose, nothing will be able to stop us. Amen. You see, two greatest events in a person's life is this. Firstly, the day that person was born. And secondly, the day that person realizes why he was born or she was born. Firstly, the greatest event of my life is the day I was born. And secondly, the day I realized why I was born. See, God is a purposeful creator. All his creations are created with a purpose. The fact that you are alive today, breathing and worshipping him, tells me that you have a purpose. That we have a purpose. You see, Jesus knew his purpose. And I love the fact that Jesus was able to say, I'm about my Father's business. From a very young age. What's your purpose? I'm about my Father's business. Even when his mom and dad asked him, where are you? I'm about my Father's business. When other people ask him, what are you about? I'm about my Father's business. See, when we incline our lives towards him, his desire becomes our desire. His desire becomes our desire. There's that great question, isn't it? What is the purpose of God for my life? What is the purpose of God for your life? See, I used to ask this question all the time. What is the purpose of God for my life? And I've got five things now. It doesn't matter whichever the location, wherever God places me, but I've got five things I know that God wants me to do. And I'd like to share this with us all. And I believe these might apply to you as well. The first thing, the purpose of God for us is this. Being in a relationship with him. Simple. What is the purpose of God for my life? To be in a relationship with him. What is the purpose of God for your life? To be in a relationship with him. You see, whenever we think about purpose, we always think about, oh, I need to do something for him. But God said, no, I want you to be in a relationship with me. It all starts with relationship. You see, in Mark, I believe, chapter 3, verse 14, I could be wrong, but it says, when Jesus chose his disciples, he first chose them so that he could be with them. Then he could, so that he could send them. You see, first thing, it always starts with relationship. See, my biggest priority is not what I do for him. If I know him. You see, when we read in the Bible, don't we? When people are knocking in heaven's door, and Jesus is like, I don't even know you. But Lord, we did this, we did that, we cast out demons, we raised Lord, this and that. Stop there. I don't know you. See, we can be so busy doing God's work, but yet not know God himself. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. That is the purpose of God for us. So that we know him and be in a relationship with him. Second thing is this. Continue to grow in the gifting God has given us. What is the purpose of God for my life? He wants me to continue to grow in the gifting that he's placed in me. See, what I do with what he's given me determines how much I love him. See, what you do with what God has placed in you shows how much you love him. What are you doing with what God has placed in you? That's a very deep question, very challenging question as well. What am I doing with what God has entrusted me with? He's entrusted me with some musical abilities. What am I doing it with the music abilities he's given me? He's entrusted me with other abilities. What am I doing with those abilities he's given me? He's entrusted us with his word. What are we doing with his word? See, what you do with your gifting shows how much you love God. Don't let it go to waste. Amen. Let's not let it go to waste. You see, we always think, oh, somebody else will do it. No, that gifting has been placed in you because God has entrusted you to do it. You can only do that. I can't. You see, the way David remembers all the hymns and everything, and it's just, he doesn't even need hymn book or hymn sheet or anything like that. It's just, he's a living, walking jukebox. And only he can do that. Only David can, first thing in the morning, record lovely hymns and encourage the body of Christ on the messenger page. That's David. See, but I can't sing and post, no, because that's not me, that's David. And he's good at what he does. And he's using it to build the body of Christ. In other words, he's continuing to grow in the gift that God has given him. And he's been praising the Lord for years, and he still is praising the Lord. And he will continue to praise the Lord for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Amen. And thirdly, what is the purpose of God for my life? Faithfully serve where I have been planted. Faithfully serve where I have been planted. See, the purpose of God for my life is to faithfully serve His church. What's the purpose of God for your life? To faithfully serve His church. To be part of the church. To serve the church and with the church. See, we have to be faithful with what God gives us. See, we have all these great ideas of, oh, I want to be a missionary here. I want to be a missionary there. Oh, I'm going to preach the word of God in the middle of the market. But yet, what's our accountability like? Where are you plugged in? What are you doing with the local church? Oh, I don't go to the local church. I think the local church is... God loves His church. Amen. God loves His church. And when we say negativity about the church, that does not incline with what the Word of God says. Because the church is bride of Christ. And He loves His church. There is no such thing as perfect church. We are all imperfect people pursuing a perfect God. And in that process of pursuing perfect God, we are being transformed into His perfection. Amen. He brings it to completion. But it's our responsibility. The purpose of God for my life is to faithfully serve where He's planted me. And He's planted me here in Doncaster. And my responsibility as His body is to serve His church. Either that be through cleaning, whatever it is. Each and every one of us can contribute. Amen. There's no such thing as our higher calling, lower calling. A calling is a calling. See, we've kind of like modernized everything and come out with different words saying, oh, this is a higher calling, preaching on stages and going on a brick crusade, that's your higher calling. A calling is a calling, amen? There is no such thing as higher calling and lower calling. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm going to call you to higher calling, I'm going to call you to lower calling. He didn't say that. He said, I've called you to fulfill the Great Commission, that were it. To make disciples of all nations. Amen. To cast out demons. Yes. To raise dead to life. To transform lives. Yes. See, that is a great commission. You see, we don't work with the all that sort of, listen, who is this? No, we don't work with that. We are one church. Amen. We are one church and we're here to fulfill the Great Commission. Yes. What is the purpose of God for my life? Fourthly, continue to stay teachable and accountable. Amen. I need to stay teachable. If I've stopped learning, that's me, I've stopped growing. If I say to myself, oh, that's it, I don't need to learn anymore, I'm like, listen, I don't know anything. I don't know, I know something, you know, but I don't know everything. And that's what we have to stay open to the Holy Spirit. We have to stay open to the Word of God. Stay teachable and accountable. See, teachability and accountability work hand in hand. We cannot stay accountable if we're not teachable. See, being accountable doesn't mean I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Being accountable means I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? That's being accountable. But now we've misinterpreted this whole thing of accountability and we've made it sound as if accountability is letting your leaders know what you're doing. No, it's letting the leaders know what you're about to do, but also asking them for advice if it's the right thing for you to do. And seeking advice. That is the purpose of God for us as a church. And what is the purpose of God for my life? Lastly, remain connected to the vine. Remain connected to the vine. Remain connected to Jesus. And most importantly, remain connected to His body. Yes. To the vine, to the church. We have to stay connected to God's community. And in God's community. That's the only way we can grow together as one. You see, watching God TV and staying at home and worshipping in your own room, that is not going to help you grow. That might help you grow, should I say. I'm not completely, crushing the idea of God TV or anything like that. God TV is there to reach out to people who don't attend church. But God TV is not there so that God TV becomes your church. Amen?
Yeah.
See, our church is this physical body coming together as one. See, I had every excuse to say, oh, I'm not feeling great, I'm going to stay at home. But I was like, no, I'm not coming down.
No.
I'm not coming down. I'm going to remain connected to the vine.
Yeah.
I'm going to remain connected to the vine church. We have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to the church. Because this is where we learn. Because right now, we're open to the Spirit and to God. And we're saying to God, God, fill me, use me, mold me. Do what you want to do in me and through me, Lord. That is my heart's desire. Five purposes of God. Being in a relationship with Him. Continue to grow in the gift that God has given us. Faithfully serve where we have been planted. In my case, it's Harvest Field Church. God has planted me here, and I want to faithfully serve God and His church. Continue to stay teachable and accountable. Remain connected to the vine. Amen. Those are the four purposes of God for my life. And I pray that those will be the purposes of God for your life as well. Until God tells you something else. Amen. You see, let's not confuse ourselves and say, oh, where does God want me to go, this and that. God might have a location for you, this and that, but I believe God wants you to remain faithful where He's planted you.
Amen.
Don't uproot yourself. If God wants you to uproot you and plant you somebody else, somewhere else, let Him do so. By asking people as a plant wanting to uproot themselves, it don't work. It does not work. So thirdly, so first thing we saw was we have to recognize the voice. Secondly, we have to know our purpose. See, Jesus recognized the voice when He was on that cross. Jesus knew His purpose when He was on that cross. That's why even when they offered a remedy to Him, here, have some of this wine, this will help you ease the pain. He says, no, I'm not drinking this wine. And thirdly, let's not lower our standards. Let's keep soaring. Amen. Let's keep soaring high. Let's not lower our standards. Let's keep soaring high. You see, this account, whenever I read this, this in some ways reminds me of the account of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, if you're taking notes, Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, says, Sanballat and Geshem send this message. Come and let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm him.
Yeah.
See, it was a friendly chat. Hey, come down. But they were scheming to harm him. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. You see, Nehemiah, he knew. Because he recognized the voice. Because he had a purpose. Because he wasn't going to lower his standards, no. He wasn't going to lower his standards. He was going to keep soaring high. He says, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. In other words, I'm not coming down. Why should this word stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they send me the same message. Not just once, not just twice, four times. And each time I gave them the same answer. Don't lower your standards. Let's not lower our standards. Because we've been faithful, because we're facing the same trials over and over again, because we're getting bombarded by the same thing over and over again. Let's not lower our standards. Let's not compromise with that thing just because it's irritating us. No. Let's stand strong. We are not going to lower our standards. Amen. We are going to keep soaring high. You see, we will encounter many Sanballats and Geshem wanting to harm us and distract us. But the word of God to us is this. Do not go down. Do not go down. I'm carrying on a great project. I am not coming down. I'm fulfilling a great prophecy. I'm not coming down. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, when passers by were saying, listen, if you are the Son of God, come down. I believe under his breath, Jesus was saying, I am not coming down because I'm about my Father's business. I'm not coming down. Just give in to that temptation. No one will find out. The voice of the tempter, I am not coming down. I'm not going to give in to that temptation. The voice of the enemy has not changed. His strategy is still the same. If you are the Son of God, did God really say that? No new tricks under the sun. Same trick. I think he's stupid. No, I think. I know he's stupid. Because he's using the same tricks again and again and again and again and again. But can I say something very strong? Sometimes when we're weak, we're given to the same thing. Because it irritates us. Because we get fed up. Because we get tired. Oh, same thing again. I'm so tired. So we're given to it. But the only thing that's changed now is this. We have our Redeemer. We have our Restorer. We have our Deliverer. We have our Healer. We have our Transformer. We have our Shepherd. We have our Defender. We have our Protector. We have our King. We have our Savior. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Devil, you have no hold on me. Devil, you have no hold on us. We belong to Jesus and we are not coming down. Amen. We belong to Jesus and we are not coming down. You can try, devil, but you will not succeed. Because we are not fighting this battle alone. The Lord is fighting this battle for us with us. He is on our side. I am not coming down. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. I am not coming down. Jesus recognized the voice, so did Nehemiah. And I believe that's the word of the Lord to us today. Let's recognize the voice. Let's lower the voice of the enemy and let's increase the volume of the Lord. Let's learn to recognize the voice. Secondly, let's understand that we have a purpose. Let's not compromise. Let's not give in. Let's not give in. Let's not settle for less. God has so much in store for us. And the only way we'll be able to see what God has for us is by walking in obedience and walking in the purpose that is for us. Being in a relationship with Him, remaining connected to the vine. And lastly, let's not lower our standards. If Nehemiah would have listened to Sanballat and Geshem, and if Nehemiah would have lowered his standards, and Nehemiah would have said, oh, I'm just going to leave this aside for now, I'm going to go down and talk to them. God knows, I don't know what would have happened. You know, but he was very firm. Listen, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. And today I said that to myself, I'm not coming down. I woke up this morning, I still wasn't 100%, but I said, I'm not coming down. Last night when I went to bed, I wasn't 100%, I said, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down because I'm about my Father's business. He is my strength. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my King. I'm here to serve Him. This is not my battle. This battle belongs to the Lord. And I know I'm on the winning side because the Lord is with me. I'm not coming down. I am not coming down. I am not coming down. I am not coming down. We are not coming down in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.